Yeah, me and McCulloch, Mecca and the Bunnymen.
Is it strange to see so many bands here who embody the sound that you created?
Is it strange? No, I mean, I don't. That's kind of what me and Will wanted, to be a band, like our favourite band of Velvet Underground, that would later go on to influence people and stand the test of time. And that's a sign that the sound is still contemporary. You know, it's we tried to write timeless stuff that, you know, when people, some people say, oh, you were an 80s band. It's like, no, we weren't. We were a 70s band, if anything, or a timeless band. And the 80s as well, it's just, when people mention that decade, for me it's like, that wasn't us, you know. It's, we belong more to the CBGBs kind of.
So it's interesting that you have that perception when you're going out there and making the music, and then people go out of their way to categorize.
I don't get it, because, you know, if it's a sound that I think we did create, it, any great band, it's their own sound, whether it's the Beach Boys, the Velvets, the Doors, you know, that's, there's something, you know, a Doors thing as soon as you hear it, you know, and the same could be said about us, I think, and the Velvets. It's like, so I think it's a good thing. I mean, I know Will is pleased that bands are sounding like us, but I'm not so pleased.
Well, and the problem about sounding like, we keep thinking about these things, and like, you'll hear a band and you'll say, well, they're trying to be Lou Reed, or they're trying to be, you know, Ian Dury, or they're trying, you know, could be anybody. And really, nobody really said, I mean, what's in your head musically is what's in your head. So you don't really set out to be anybody. But then there are some that definitely set you, I think Echo and you in particular, I think there are bands that do really set out, more so than a lot, to be you. Just like bands used to set out to be the Stones, you know?
Yeah, it's the thing with the great bands, to try and emulate them. I mean, we kind of sometimes go, oh, it sounds like the Velvets, but that's because we're confident in who we are. We're not trying to.
But the Velvets could be Who Comes the Sun, or it could be, you know, the Velvets, you know, I mean.
That's what I always say when people say, and I've just said something that always pisses me off when people say, oh, it sounds like the Velvets, when it could be Venus in Furs and it could be New Age. You know, and it's two totally different sounds in a way, but it's still, even with Doug Yule singing, it still sounds like the Velvets, you know. And I think great bands are like that, very hard to copy. And, you know, there's been loads of Stones sounded like, and the Beatles, you know, the thing with Oasis, what I liked about Oasis, they sounded like Oasis. And then somebody said they sound like the Beatles, and they sound nothing like the Beatles.
Yeah, I know.
Into their heads and spoils Oasis.
I must think Oasis, if you listen to like their latest stuff, they sound more like the Stones. They sound more like Street Fighting Man. The latest single is Street Fighting. I mean, no offense on them, but the latest single, we wouldn't want Mr. Gallagher to talk about this, but the latest single sounds like Street Fighting Man to me.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I think they're more suited to that kind of thing. You know, the subtleties of the Beatles were in the lyrics of John Lennon a lot of the time. Not beyond the kind of the melodies and the harmonies, it's like in my life. I don't think I love Oasis and they're great, but they're Oasis. And to write a lyric like In My Life, it's a different brain, you know.
Yeah, very much so. So speaking of different, here you are at South by Southwest, a little different than Glastonbury.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Much better. Well, there's bars everywhere, and it's, I mean, Glastonbury's great if you're into that kind of thing. I've never been into
the big giant monster. How far can the reverb go into the crowd?
Well, I don't know about that, but it's how covered in shite you can get, you know, for the, I mean, Michael Lee was dead, really nice man. I nearly got in trouble when we played it in 97. I was inferring that maybe he wasn't all he was cracked up to be, and he was going to sue me and stuff. But then, you know, we met up again, and he was so nice, and I realised that he's a really nice bloke, and I should keep my mouth shut.
Just for kicks. So, I recently have interviewed at least one guy, Kelly Stoltz, who plays, you know, he's from San Francisco. There are more people that I've discovered that love to play Echo and the Bunnymen albums in their entirety than that becomes, and I think, I can think of you, and I can think of the Kinks, and maybe the Beatles. So why do you think that people are obsessed with, you know, and again, Kelly does a great job of it.
I still haven't heard it. I'm dying to hear it, but...
But why do you think, you know, what's the theory behind that, you know?
I don't know. I suppose that's a way of saying, I'm not even going to try and rip them off. I'm just going to do that.
I'm just going to do the whole thing.
Yeah. And I thought it was such a weird thing, because we're still going. It's the kind of... I loved hearing that thing that this fella Kelly Stoltz has done this thing. It's, I don't understand. It's like a master forger, you know.
Master forger.
with Van Gogh still being alive, you know. It's like, but so I that was one story. I thought I like that.
I just think it's wild, you know. Not just a song, but a whole record.
I know, it's mad, but it makes you feel even more like a
you've never met him.
I didn't finish my sentence. No,
he's playing here.
Is he?
Yes.
I don't think
so. You could show up at his shows, and then you could do his entire record.
Yeah. Does he do his own stuff as well?
No. He's got a great power poppy album. He does. But I'm just thinking, if you show up at his shows, and then you do a couple of his songs.
If I knew them, I'd maybe have a go. But I'd like to hook up with him, defo.
Tell me a little bit about, you know, I mean, can a band have, how many comebacks can a band have after 20 years?
As many as they want if they're great.
Humility strikes.
Well, I
was, no, I'm being facetious.
Yeah, and I didn't say it was us.
You didn't say it was you. No, you didn't.
We are one of the greatest bands of all time, so.
And, so there you go.
And we've only made.
Interview over.
We've only made one comeback. And it wasn't a comeback, it was a reunion or something. We just had 9 years off for bad behaviour.
Your MySpace page says the band's on hiatus. What'd you hear?
Well, yeah, we're not on a hiatus. I mean, it is weird. We've just done a world tour that ended about 2 months ago. And we're going to go back out on the road. We've just done Tel Aviv, Istanbul and Greece last week, and then flew here. So I don't see that as a hiatus. It doesn't feel like one because I'm booked, you know. But I'm going to go straight back to England and start writing again. I've got a solo album I want to do this year, just with acoustic guitar, piano and cellos. That's the plot, and some of the best songs I've ever written. Very melancholy. And
the last thing we like to do is a thing called a musical sandwich, which is two of your songs as the bread, and then just pick 5 or 6 tunes by any band you've always wanted to hear with your songs in between, and I'll play it exactly that way.
Okay, the first slice of bread will be... Let's have Everything Kills You. Then we'll have Waterloo Sunset. Daydream Believer by the Monkees. Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond.
What are we going to close with of yours? You can give me a couple more if you want. You going to leave me with Sweet Caroline by Neil Diamond?
Yeah. And the other Bunnymen piece of bread should be Stormy Weather.